such a rich area of scripture this morning. Pretty much teaches itself, so let's pray that we all learn what the scriptures have to say. With Bibles open, let's pray now that God would open our hearts to receive his truth. Father, how grateful we are in this busy world, hectic world, so many responsibilities, so many things that are upon our plates. God, that we get to come on a Sunday morning and allow all of those things around us to just take a pause, to spend time with you, to hear from you, to read the scriptures, to consider them, to apply them to our lives. And God, I would pray that not one person in this room would be hindered from receiving the truth that you have for us. God, that we would just receive it with thanksgiving, that we would receive it with power, that we would believe in a God that does the impossible. Not just in the times of the Bible, but in our times, in our days. God, that you would do a mighty work in and through your people. For we know the days are shortening, God. We know that your return is imminent, and we look forward to that day. But let us not fall asleep in these last days, but let us rise up. Let us be the church that's active, that's influential. And we can't do that without the truth of your word. And so, Holy Spirit, fill us to overflow. Bless us and bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
As an aside, Micah Yarbrough had a baby this morning. Little Banks is here. You probably can see him on social media if you're on that. Can't wait to meet him. Can't wait to dedicate him. Can't wait to see what the Lord has in store. So keep them in prayer this morning for sure. I have a question for you. Do you believe in miracles? You believe God can do miracles? Do you believe that God would do a miracle in your life today? See, we can believe that God does miracles. We can believe that God has the capacity to do that. But we also might think, but he's not going to do them for me. He might do it in someone else's life. We can sometimes think, well, I don't deserve a miracle. And to be honest with you, you'd be right. We don't deserve miracles. But it doesn't change the fact that our God is the God who does miracles. And I think this morning it's a good reminder that God does do miracles and that we should expect it. This is my title, expect a miracle. To be looking for God to do a miracle, not for the sake of a miracle, not for the sake of saying, oh, wow, look what God, no, but for the sake of saying, God's at work in my life. God's doing something, maybe in my life or maybe in someone else's life, that we would even witness miracles in each other's lives. That's so encouraging, right? Not just a miracle in your life, but maybe a miracle in someone else's life. Can you bring you that encouragement to go, God's still at work? Because I believe sometimes in the church we forget God's still at work. God still wants to do something powerful in our lives. No, God is a God of miracles, and I believe we should expect him to do a miracle, but not be disappointed when he doesn't, right? I mean, he can, and that's probably one of the hardest things for Christians, when we know God can change our circumstances, but he doesn't. Well, why, God? What am I doing in my life? What's wrong in my life where that miracle isn't coming to pass or this thing isn't getting out of my way? When we just have to, sometimes we have to rest in the fact that, God, we believe you can, but if you don't, I know you're going to give me the strength to get through, whatever it may be. The Bible is full of miracles. In fact, we even sang about one of them this morning. You know, the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, that was an amazing miracle that the Israelites witnessed, right? Another one, sending food down from heaven as they wandered in the wilderness. God continually provided for them day after day after day, giving them the food that they needed for 40 years. That's a miracle. Raising Jesus from the dead was a miracle. Jesus healing blind and lame, turning water into wine. Bringing back people from the dead. God does miracles. And it's amazing the things that we read about in our Bibles, the miracles that are there. And we read them and we get so encouraged by them. But we have to also believe that they're going to happen in our lives. We have to pray for them. God, do a miracle so you get the glory. Not so there's attention upon us, but that God gets the glory. Most people would agree that it would be amazing to experience such miracles. It would be amazing, wouldn't it? for God to change your circumstances just like that, to change the direction of your life, to change the circumstances of the situations that you are going through, the difficulties, the pain, the hurt, the suffering. God, you can change them. And after experiencing these kinds of miracles that I just described, the children of God still doubted in him. They still waned in him. Seeing the parting of the Red Sea, they get to the other side, what do? Complain. Every time something happened amazing for that Jesus would do, it was amazing for a moment, but then we could complain. And that's how we are. We forget what God has done because we're waiting for God to do something new. Are you like that sometimes? That you're so desperate for God to do something right now, you forget what he's already done for you. We're just like that, aren't we? We act the same way. God does a miracle in our lives. God takes care of us. He answers our prayers. Everything's good. And then something new comes. And we're constantly asking God. This is just who we are. This is how we're built. In fact, the Bible says it this way. Hope I got that right. Yep. Numbers 14:11 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them?'" God's looking down and he's going, "Have I not done so much for you? Have I not shown you my faithfulness to you?" God, help us if we ever get to that place where we say, "What has God done for me lately?" I mean, the simple things, right? A new day, air to breathe, friends to love. There's so much God has given to us that we should be content with. But we also need to believe in miracles. It's natural for us humans to doubt. We rely heavily upon our senses, the things that we see, the things that we hear, the things that we feel. Miracles play an important role throughout history, and they are described in the Word of God as a help for those who read these things. And that's what we're going to read, an amazing miracle in this first 10 verses of chapter 3. Powerful. And I pray that we read it and that we think of it and that we also know that God will do this. But miracles do one thing. They should increase our faith. They should increase our faith. Not about the magnificence of the miracle, but they should increase our faith in a God that does those miracles. We need to have a living faith in God. Faith that means that we trust him no matter what. I'm going to ask you this morning, what is it you're going through in your life that maybe you're not fully trusting God in? You believe God can do something. You believe God could change your situation. But whatever it is you're going through right now, there's that bit of a doubt that goes, he's just not doing it right now. Because God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to be obedient. God wants you to go, you've done so much in my life, God, that I'm going to trust you today, excuse me, for what I'm going through right now. That's faith. Faith in a living God that does the amazing and the miracles. Let's read this in chapter 3, the first 10 verses. Just so, so amazing. Now, let's remember, before we get into it, let's remember where we've come. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in chapter 2. Peter giving a powerful sermon, quoting Old Testament scriptures. And then the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church and the faithfulness in the church to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and then prayers. This is what they were doing, day to day, meeting, and God was adding to the church. A lot of activity was going on at the end of chapter 2. Now, we don't know how much time is in between chapter 2 and chapter 3. Could be that afternoon, could be that week, could be in the next month, but this is the picture that we should have in our minds, that the Holy Spirit's been poured out. They're continuing steadfastly in apostle doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. They're praying, they're being together, they're encouraging each other. The Holy Spirit was upon them. It's all preparation. And Luke, as he's writing in the book of Acts, is now giving us an example of what happens when we continue in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, fellowship, apostle doctrine, and in prayers. If we continue in these things can happen in our lives. We learned that last week. When we're talking about that area of scripture, fulfilling our purpose was staying in those things. Now look what happens. It says in verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wow. Expecting a miracle. First thing I want to say to you, this beggar, this lame man, whatever you want to call him, did not go to the temple to expect a miracle, did he? He didn't go there. He didn't go to God's house to be saved. He didn't go to God's house to be healed. He went to God's house for one reason: to receive something from the people of God. Don't miss that. Every day he had friends that would lay him at this gate of the temple. As people would come in for prayer, they would see this lame man, this beggar. He'd be begging. He'd be laying there. And he was looking at people saying, "Will you give me something?" If we back up for a moment and understand that this man was lame from his mother's womb, okay, he did not get lame after the fact, he was born that way. I want you for a moment, moms and dads in this room, to consider what goes through the hearts of the mother and the father when they see their child born in this condition. Immediately they know that this child's life is going to be very difficult, their entire life. They know in these days, the only way that this man is going to survive is if there's generosity from other people. He can't walk. He's lame. Somebody has to carry him just to lay him at the temple. So you got to understand the condition that this man was in was a desperate decision. And when it comes to expecting a miracle in your life, sometimes we have to be in a desperate circumstance. We have to be in a desperate condition before the conditions are right for God to do a miracle. So this man is laid daily at the gate. Again, it says, a certain man lame from his mother's womb. He was born this way. This was his condition from the very beginning. Not that much dissimilar, guys, than all of us when we were born into the world. We were in a desperate condition, weren't we? Separated from God. All are born into sin. So we had sin in our lives as soon as we were born. So it's a very strong picture of the condition of every living soul on the planet until they come to the saving faith of Christ. You had a desperate condition. We are all in this condition. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Every single person in the world. Isn't it great to know that through saving grace of Jesus Christ, we're no longer in that desperate condition? Praise God for that. Let's not forget that God has saved us from eternal separation of himself. He's brought us into the family of God. He's brought us into the realm where a miracle could be done in our lives that's already been done. It's a beautiful picture. But first, he was born this way. Second, notice, in this condition, this man was powerless to do anything for himself. Literally, someone had to put him there. He had to sit there all day and beg, hopefully to get enough money to meet the needs of himself. Isn't that a desperate condition? To think that's the condition you're in order to even make your get every one of your needs met? How hard it must be when people look at him with just disdain and just walk by. But let me say this. I don't think that was the case in the time of this lame man in his life. Because as people were coming to the temple, they were coming to worship God. And I believe there was a generous spirit in the Jewish people. When they saw someone in a difficult condition, they would want to help them. So that's why he was laid there every single day at the beautiful gate. What an amazing contrast. This gate, I think they said it was 60 to 70 feet tall, covered in gold. I mean, it was an absolute beautiful gate, and what a contrast to this beautiful picture of a gate and then this poor lame man laying right there. It shows the condition of man's heart apart from God. He was powerless to do anything on his own. And guys, if we're going to expect a miracle in our life, we can't expect we're going to be able to do it. You can't pray enough. You can't be faithful enough. You can't be devoted enough to be qualified for a miracle. You just have to have the need in your life. And if God so chooses to do the miracle, it's up to him. And praise be to God if he does. That's what we need to be encouraged by. This man was powerless, and we were powerless too. Romans 5, 6 and 8 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God did it for you because you couldn't do it, right? Anybody here live a perfect life? Anybody in here live sinless to this point? No. Two ways to heaven: live a perfect life or give your life to Jesus. First one doesn't even work. So there's one way to heaven: through Jesus, through what he's done. Miracles in your life come only through Christ, not your qualifications. And I think sometimes we think that's it. If I just put myself in the right situation or right position, then God will give me a miracle. This man, I don't know if you pick it up or not, but if look at verse 3 again. This layman who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. So as Peter and John are going in, he's asked, "Could I, anything, some donation?" But then notice in verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So the lame man goes, "Anything for a poor beggar?" And then his eyes immediately leave them. He's not keeping his focus on them. He's on to the next. He can tell if someone's going to give or if someone's not. And that's the hard thing sometimes for us. God, let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's not look away. Let's keep our eyes on the source of our miracles. Don't be one to look away. Keep your focus upon God. Keep your focus upon his word. Keep your focus upon the people of God. Because it's so easy to get discouraged and get distracted. How hard it must have been for this man sometimes when people would just walk by and not even look at him. How hard it is. We're human beings that we can't even acknowledge people that are walking by us. Can't even acknowledge another human being because why? We're so focused on ourselves, going in our own direction. But be mindful of people around you. And I love the fact that Peter says, "Look at us." Just think of the heart of this beggar when he says, "Look at us." It's like, oh, I'm going to get something, right? Isn't that what it says? Verse 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. What did he expect from them? Money. When it comes to miracles of God, sometimes we settle for the temporary and not seek after the permanent. If Peter and John had money to give to the man, that would mean he would remain a cripple till the next day, wouldn't he? But because Peter remained in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers, he was prepared by God to do this work. I like to put myself in John's position as he's walking with Peter. And Peter goes, "Hey, look at us." I'm thinking John's going, "Peter, what are you going to do? We don't have any money, dude." I mean, it doesn't say anything about John, but I just wonder. Well, if you were walking with another person, and they all of a sudden said, "Oh," and they turned to someone and said, "Hey, God just told me that this is going to happen in your life." Do you ever think, you go, "What are they saying? What if they're wrong?" Don't you hate being wrong? Especially if you're speaking for God. You don't want to be wrong. But see, Peter was moved by God. Peter was moved by God to offer this to this man. Because why? Because he was in prayer. He's been seeking, he's seen Jesus do a work in his own life, so he was prepared to give that power to someone else in his life. Has God done such an amazing work in your life that you want to see that happen in someone else's life? That's where Peter was. Again, notice, silver and gold I do not have, right? But then he goes on, but what I do have, wait a minute. In order for you to give a miracle, you got to have it. You've got to possess it. You've got to possess the faith to believe it, and you got to believe that God will do it. And that's what Peter had. Let me remind you that the beggar didn't have that faith. It's not like the beggar said, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, so give me the miracle. No, Peter had the faith. So sometimes we have to allow others to have the faith in order for us to have the miracle. Wow. Let's have a deal. I'll believe God will do a miracle in your life if you believe God will do a miracle in my life. Because don't we have more faith for others than we do for ourselves? Right? I believe Laylee will get blessed before I will. I believe Alan will get blessed before I will. These are godly people. I know me. Isn't that right? You know you, right? And there's other people that we think, well, they are much more deserving of a miracle than I am. But if we believe, then maybe we'll receive the miracle for our friends. I think that's an important thing. So, number one, he was born this way. Number two, he was powerless to do anything about it. Number three, and this is important, this man was outside the temple. Okay? The temple was what? The place where God dwelt. All right? The temple grounds. That's where God was. He was just outside of that place. And I think there are people in our lives, sometimes maybe even ourselves, that we're just outside of God's blessing. We're just on the perimeter. We don't want to get too close. We don't want to get too committed. We don't want to be Jesus freaks. We just want to stay on the perimeter. And we all know people like this, that they believe in Jesus, but they're not committed to him. They're not devoted to him. And I'm not saying that's qualification for a miracle, but certainly shouldn't we be living for God and seeking after God in order to position ourselves to receive a miracle? I think so. So this man was outside the temple. And it says this in Isaiah, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. If you have sin in your life, unrepented sin, you're outside of God's ability to do anything in your life. But here's the thing. It's not hard to get rid of that, is it? If you've got some iniquity in your life, if you've got some sin in your life, you just take it to the Lord daily, moment by moment. Lord, forgive me for doing it again. Lord, forgive me for doing it again. Constantly bringing yourself into the presence of God, because sin will keep you on the outside of God's favor. And it's a bad position to be, but it's an easy position to be remedied, right? Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for having that bad thought towards another brother or sister. Forgive me for having that intention of my heart that wasn't right, God. Whatever it is, forgive me for doing that, for saying that, whatever it may be. Get in right relationship. God brings you into the presence of God, and then there is forgiveness. That's important. This man was also poor. The fourth thing here under, he's in desperate condition. He was very poor. Again, in verse 2, it says, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And he wanted alms, he wanted a donation, he wanted a gift from Peter and John. As people were going by, he was asking for these things. Let me say this. Sometimes we search for satisfaction in other people. Right? We seek others for that gratification. Or maybe we seek things for that gratification. You know, I love a new piece of electronics. Brings me a lot of satisfaction. But things, they don't last, right? That satisfaction doesn't last. Others make mistakes. They don't last. And finally, sometimes we put our faith and trust in money. Man, if I just had more money, The church just had more money. If I just had more money, I would be happier. You think? Look at this. Let me see if I can do this. John D. Rockefeller was asked, how much money does it take to be happy? Does anybody know the answer? What's that? No, just a little bit more. Right? Just a little bit more. Do you make more money today than you did maybe 5 years ago? Are you happier? It's just amazing to me that we put our hope and trust in others, in things, in money, and those are all temporary. As I said, if Peter and John had money to give this man, he'd be crippled the next day. But they're going to give him something even greater. And that's where we need to have that hope. That's where we have to have that encouragement. You and I are just like this man, thinking that money will satisfy him. Sometimes we think other things on this earth will satisfy us more than God. Nothing on this earth will satisfy you more than the Lord. Ever. Okay, those things are bring temporary joy, but they never last. God's joy is always there. It's always there. And I'm so thankful for that. The second thing, it's important for us to see this in verse 2. It says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. Expecting a miracle means you have to have a care for other people. This man had people in his life that cared enough about him to at least carry him to the temple where his needs could be met. He couldn't get himself there. And so there sometimes are people in our lives that we need to help along. Sometimes there's people we need to bring into God's presence so that they can receive a miracle. We all know people that don't believe God can do miracles. They don't even believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. But do you believe enough for them to say, if you come here, I know a Savior that can change your circumstances, change your heartbreak to hope, change your struggle to victory. I would hope every single one of us in this room, since we've come into the family of God, have found our lives to be much richer. I'm not saying easier, I'm saying richer. Because there's less concern for the stuff of this world, isn't it? And there was people in this man's life that cared enough about him. Guys, who in your life needs to come into the presence of God? For some of us, it might be a spouse. For others, it's a best friend. Others, parents, kids, name it. There's somebody in our lives that we need to care enough about to say, you need to come into the presence of God. Think about this also. Had his friends not brought him to the temple, he would have never been in a position to receive the miracle. Had they not laid him there that day, had they been too tired, oh, we do this every day, I'm just tired, had they not, their faithfulness to daily lay him, set him up to receive a miracle. I believe there must be dedication and commitment in the life of a believer in order to receive. I've said it a million times. You only get out as much as you put in to your walk with the Lord. It doesn't just happen automatically. I don't need to read my Bible and I don't need to pray. No, you don't need to. But it's much richer when you do. It's much richer when you know what the Scripture says. It's much richer when you know you're talking to God and He's speaking to you. So there were people that cared about him. And then this one, when it comes to God's miracles, they have to be so amazing that there's no doubt they were by God's hand. Don't you agree with that? If we can try to explain it away, then it doesn't have to be God. But this, there was no doubt it was God. Again, look with me at verses 7 and 8. Let's go back to verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this is where I think John was like, oh boy, now what's going to happen? And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Who wrote this letter? Luke did, Dr. Luke. And when he says the feet and the ankle bones received strength, Bible commentators think that this man's ankles were so disjointed that his feet were twisted at the ankles. There was no way he could walk. And so when he says his feet and ankle bones received strength, I believe when Peter grabbed his hand and said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, his feet just strengthened. And immediately he stands up. There's no doubt that was God, right? There's no doubt that God did a work in this man's life. Guys, when God does a real miracle, there's no doubt that you know it was God. The unbelieving world might try to explain it away, but those of us who know the impossible, I mean, there's people in this room, James, you're one. There's things that have happened in our lives, we go, there's no other way than God did that. You know, when a doctor looks at you and goes, I have no way of explaining it. And you know, well, that's God. That's how we explain it. What does the medical profession call something that they can't explain? Who said it?
Anomaly.
An anomaly? No, it's it has the word idiot in it. What's that?
Oh, ideology.
Ideology. No, is that right? Something. It's just amazing to me that the medical profession would call something they can't explain, I'm an idiot. It's like, wow. It's because it's God. Guys, God wants to do a work in your life, and you have to know that it's an absolute miracle from him. How has God done miracles in your life that you know he did them? I mean, I'm standing here before you knowing God did it because there was no other way to do it. When doctors told me 0.5% of the people that went through what you went through survive, that's a very small percentage. God did it, and I have no doubt of it. And because I believe God did it in my life, I believe he can do it in your life. And that's what we have to have. We have to have that belief. Skip down to verse 16 of Acts chapter 3. We're going to see this next week. And it says, Peter's speaking, and it says, and his name, through faith in his name, verse 16, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him, look at this, perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Perfect soundness. In other words, if this man had a cough or a sore throat, that was healed. If he had a cut on his finger, that was healed. This man went from being lame beggar to perfectly sound. If that's not God. If that's not God. Guys, when God does something in your life, he doesn't do it halfway. He doesn't do a little bit of it. He does it all and more, right? Exceedingly, abundantly, more than we ask or imagine. Don't you love that verse? My God can do exceedingly, abundantly more than we ask or think. Are we asking and thinking? I say it every time. Ask and think. Ask and think, and God will do more. Believe. How much can you believe God will do in your life? I think that's faith. I think that's active faith, that's living faith, that's believing God will. We can't make God do anything, but we can believe he can do it. And I think that's important. Everything in this man's life was made whole. And if we go back here, okay, it's in verse 8. So he, look at this, leaping up, stood and walked, and look where he went. He entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. What a sight this must have been. He's probably like a kid, right? Going to church. I'm excited for church. An amazing event just happened in his life. And I love the fact that he goes into the temple. He goes into the presence of God with the people of God. I'm just so thankful that our Bible doesn't say, and he turned around and walked away. He got his blessing and off he went on his own. No, there has to be a time if we receive a miracle to press in, to let other people know. He's walking and leaping. There's people all over the place in Jerusalem, and they all know this guy. They've seen him. They've walked by him a million times. And now they're seeing him leaping and jumping and praising God. Isn't it convicting when other people in our lives are praising God and we're not? It's like, I should be praising God. We should be praising God. Because of all that he's done in our lives. This is who we need to be. This man was walking and leaping. And I mean, it wasn't just like, hey, I'm learning how to walk today. No. Boom. He's jumping, doing backflips. God, help us to be that excited when God does something in our lives. Truly. When God, even if it's a small thing, be excited about what God's revealed to you. I mean, to have that kind of joyous faith in God, to praise Him. Now listen, some of us in this room right now are going through such tough situations that it doesn't even feel like you could praise God. But I think those are the moments when we need to really press in and begin to praise, just to begin to thank Him. It's easy to give our list of things we want God to do, but isn't it also as easy to say, Lord, thank you for the things I already have. Thank you for the blessings in my life. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for the church. Whatever it is, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Because when you begin to become thankful for what you have, guess what? You begin to praise God. And it helps you deal with the things that are going on in your life. The impossible things in your life that only a miracle will change. Listen to me. Don't worry. Don't fret over the things you can't change. Praise God in the midst of them and watch your attitude change towards those things. That's a miracle, guys. When you can look at your situation and you can go, praise God. Poor Bethany this morning was telling me how late she was going to have to work one night and then get up early the next morning to go to Disney. And she was going to work real late and have to get real early to go to Disney. And I was like, praise the Lord. You know what she said? She goes, I knew you were going to say that. Why? Because that's what we need to do. We need to praise the Lord in difficult things. It helps, doesn't it? It helps when we praise the Lord through difficult things. Finally, to expect a miracle means we have to realize there's going to be permanent change in our lives. Once you've experienced a miracle from God, you can never be the same. You will always be different. Some of your characteristics will still be there, but you're going to be different because you've been touched by God. And this man was radically changed. Again, before he was outside the temple, now he's inside the temple. His attitude about the church changed. It no longer was a place where he could just get, and now he's going to go in and he's going to give. He's going to be an active person, an active individual in the body of Christ. Again, we're going to see him throughout this chapter with Peter and John, with the disciples. He's there with them. Because what? He's been touched by God in a powerful way. He's been changed. And that's what people need to know in our lives, that don't want to come to church, that don't want anything to do with Jesus. They need to be touched by God in such a way that now they desire to be in God's presence. Now they desire to be called a Christian, the very thing they were mocking maybe years before. It's a great attitude. He was connected to the church. In chapter 4, it'll say that he was standing with them, and they could say nothing about it. There he was, a full-blown miracle by Jesus. Because all Peter did was what? He just gave him a little bit of faith. He just says, I believe for you. I believe enough for you. I think it'd be great if we could believe enough to help our hurting friends. Do you believe enough in God for them, to help them, to see their lives change? I think it's a great area to stay in our place of prayer, is Lord, praying for those people in our lives that need to know you. And how we can be a part of it. Again, the first thing was that he stood with believers. He was in the temple. He was in the presence of God. The other thing is that now he's going and praising God. He's literally praising the Lord for what's happened in his life. And as we said, we should be always doing that. What has God done for you that causes you to praise him? What has God done for you that causes you to praise him? We all have something. All of us have something, or we've witnessed something or heard about something, and we've seen God do it. We have to have a reason to do it. I'm going to close here in verse 10. It says, then they, again, everybody in the temple, they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Oh, that we would be in wonder and amazement of the things God's doing in each other's lives, not just our own. Again, God wants us to be other-centered. I want to be amazed and in wonder of the things that God has done in your life. And you should be equally in mine. God doesn't want us to be dependent upon miracles happening in our life. We should expect him to be able to do them, but we should not be dependent upon them. To witness a miracle is a temporary thing. Think about it. This man got healed. That was pretty powerful. He's leaping and jumping and praising God in the temple. But guess what? Now life starts, right? Now he's got to go from that miracle situation to now I'm going to be living for the Lord. And that might be ordinary. That might be plain, right? Just going through the motions. But he can always remember the day that he was touched by God. Don't ever forget the day you were touched by God. Don't ever forget it. Because that's when it all started. That's when your change started. That's when you opened up your opportunities to be receiving miracle after miracle from God. And I want to encourage all of us, expect them. Expect a miracle to happen in your life today. Not tomorrow, not when you get better, not when you do the... Today. Expect it. And then when he does, praise him for it and let other people know. Amen? Father, we thank you, as always, for the power of your word. And God, help us to be faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God, faithful to serve a God that does the impossible, that today still does miracles. And we thank you for the book of Acts, God, that reminds us repeatedly of your power, of the power of the early church. So I pray, God, that you would stir in all of us that joy, that excitement, that wonder, that faith to believe in a God that can do absolutely anything and everything. God, help us to love on those around us and bring them into your presence, whether through a conversation, through a prayer, or maybe physically bringing them into a church, bring them to a place of faith. God, we want to be those Christians just like the early Christians that were active and involved in the work of the Lord. And I pray for each and everyone here. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would do a miracle in their lives. Whatever it is they need, God, I believe enough that you can and you will do it. And when you do, I pray that they would without a doubt know that it's you. And that they would know there was nothing in their power that could make it happen. It is only by your grace. So pour it out upon us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.